You are not an ordinary person. We are the outshining of God's glory. Don't let any circumstance have enough power to bother you. The Father has nowhere to stay than inside you and cannot express himself unless through your body. So your body becomes his body. That is why the Bible says we are the body of Christ. Shout it. Say, I'm a doer of the word. I'm a world shaker. I live by the word. I'm born by the word. We are here to produce heaven on this earth. I produce heaven on earth. Sadiva kasi. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. That's why I say, don't give up. Hey! Moko seki para vuka du seki baha. Sagu, rebege de vezia. Vege, yakusa ti paroski para kata. Ah, do like 10 water into one.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, reading downwards, 15, 16, 17. Oh, Jesus. Robert, can you read it for us? Ephesians chapter 1.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 downwards. Mm-hmm. I'm reading from the King James Version. Mm-hmm. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints,
Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and your love toward all the saints,
cease not to give thanks for you,
mm-hmm.
making mention of you in my prayers,
cease not to give thanks for you. That's Paul. Making mention of you in my prayers.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. May give unto you. Paul said, after I have heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, I do not cease to pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory, or who is the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Say, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. So what Paul was praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus may give unto us, may give unto the church, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. What is the spirit of wisdom? What is the spirit of revelation? It means that you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to assess the knowledge of Christ. It means that for you to have the knowledge of Christ, you need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So Paul was praying that they have the knowledge of Christ. But then he said they can only have the knowledge of Christ when the spirit of wisdom and revelation is given unto them. Praise God. So when the spirit of wisdom and revelation is given unto the church, then we can have the knowledge of Christ. Or then we can assess the knowledge of Christ. Or then we can receive, lay hold of the knowledge of Christ. So what is the spirit of wisdom and revelation? See, when Paul says that I pray that the God of our Lord gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he's not saying that God is going to give the spirit of wisdom and revelation from heaven. Are you here? No. God is not going to give the spirit of wisdom and revelation from heaven. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is a special operation of the Holy Ghost in the life of a Christian or in the body of Christ. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is a special operation of the Holy Ghost in the Christian or in the body of Christ. So Paul was praying that God will grant that the Holy Ghost will be able to perform certain functions in the church. Praise God. And that function was to impart wisdom. Say, the Holy Ghost is inside you. The Holy Ghost is in the church. Praise God. Are you following? So, he was praying that God will give, or God will grant the Holy Ghost, which he has given to the church. We've talked about this over the weeks. The Holy Ghost has been given to the church, which he has given to the church. So that the Holy Ghost will perform certain functions in the church, or in the body of Christ, or in the life of the Christian. And such function was to impart, or to give, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So that when the spirit of wisdom and revelation is in the church, then the church cannot have the knowledge of Christ. Do you understand? So it is a special operation of the Holy Ghost who is inside you, and who is inside the church, and who is with the church. A special function. You see, there is what is called the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God. Open to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Verse 1 to 2, Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter, the book of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 2, or 1 to 3, but the 2 is very important in our reading. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, Kole Hasha Karabakasaya. Have you opened? Okay, we read it for us.
Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse,
mm-hmm.
and a branch shall grow out of his roots,
mm-hmm.
and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
Mm-hmm. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
Mm-hmm. The spirit of counsel and might.
The spirit of counsel and might.
Mm-hmm. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So, there is what is called the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God means or represents the seven operations of the Holy Ghost in the life of a person. The seven spirits of God represents the sevenfold operations, or sevenfold operations of the Spirit of God in the life of the Christian. And it talks about the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So, the sevenfold operation of the Holy Ghost in the life of a person, in the life of a Christian, or in the church, there is a sevenfold operation. It's called the seven spirit. It's not seven different spirits, but it's one spirit performing seven different functions. Hallelujah. One spirit performing what? Seven different functions or seven different operations. So he says that the spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom, or the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So There is a sevenfold operation of the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ. So the Spirit of the Lord rests on us. Then the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of mind. So that the Holy Ghost in a person functions or imparts into the person the Spirit of counsel, or operates into a person with the Spirit of counsel, which can also be the Spirit of what? Wisdom. Praise God. Then it talks about the Spirit of mind. It talks about the Spirit of understanding, the fear of the Lord. So when the Holy Ghost is in a person, there is this function that the Holy Ghost performs in that person. And it is seven. And that's what Obed read right now, that there is the Spirit of wisdom. There's a Spirit of understanding. So that by the Holy Ghost, you have an understanding. Do you understand? By the Holy Ghost, there is wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom. You have wisdom. And I'll talk about the Spirit of wisdom in Revelation. There is the fear of the Lord in a person who has the Holy Ghost. He functions in a person in such a way that there is the fear of the Lord in that person. There is the wisdom of God in that person. Oh. Are you following? Okay, read it again.
Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse.
A rod out of the stem of Jesse.
Mm-hmm. And a branch shall grow out of his roots.
And a branch shall grow out of his roots.
Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him.
Uh-huh. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That I explained it there, that we have received an understanding. About the, when we are talking about the mystery of Christ. You see, so the Holy Ghost performs an operation in you. It's called wisdom. It's an operation of wisdom. But then he calls that operation the Spirit of wisdom. And then he talks about an understanding, an insight. Insight into truth. And he says that he calls that the Spirit of understanding. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The same Holy Ghost performing different functions in a person. And one of those functions is the fear of the Lord. So when the Holy Ghost is inside you, there is the fear of the Lord. There is wisdom in you. There is wisdom operating in you. There is counsel operating in you. Now, among the seven spirits of God is what Paul chooses to. So the Spirit of mind is like an operation of the Holy Spirit with power. So when the Spirit of mind is working in you, power is operational in your life. Like Samson. When the Spirit of wisdom is working in you, wisdom is operational in your life. When the Spirit of understanding is in you, I don't want to talk about wisdom, I'm talking about divine wisdom, the God kind of wisdom. There's a God kind of understanding of things. Praise God. Now, Paul chooses two of those operations and says that he prays that this Holy Ghost will give the church the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Christ. So that there will be a Spirit of wisdom in the body of Christ and a Spirit of revelation. And when that happens, we can receive the knowledge of Christ. And I said that the knowledge of Christ is not accessible until the Spirit of wisdom and revelation is operational. When the Spirit of wisdom and revelation is operational, that is when the knowledge of Christ is accessible. Praise God. Now, what is the Spirit of wisdom? What is the Spirit of revelation? What is the Spirit of wisdom? What is the Spirit of revelation? When we say that the Holy Ghost has imparted the Spirit of wisdom, or the Holy Ghost is functioning in a person with the Spirit of wisdom, how do you know? What does it mean? Or the Holy Ghost is working in a person with the Spirit of revelation, how do you know? You see here, Paul did not talk about the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He chose only two. Why? Because he was dealing with knowledge. Shout amen. He's dealing with knowledge. So what is the Spirit of the fear of the, what is the Spirit of wisdom? the spirit of revelation. And you see, you notice that he did not say the spirit of revelation first. He says that the God will give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. He did not say that the God will give you the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. He says the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. The wisdom comes first before the revelation. Now, what is the spirit of wisdom? The spirit of wisdom is an operation of the Holy Ghost in a person or in a Christian. Spirit of wisdom is an operation of the Holy Ghost in a Christian that enables the Christian to have an understanding of how God functions. It enables the Christian to have an understanding of how God functions, or how God has functioned, or what God has done. An understanding of what God has done and how he has done it. Praise God. Have you got it down? Have you got it down? So, the spirit of wisdom is an operation of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, in the body of Christ or in the life of a Christian, that enables the Christian to have an understanding of how God does what he does, of how God functions, or how God operates. Praise God. So, the spirit of wisdom is very important. The spirit of wisdom is first before the spirit of revelation. Now I explain. You see, the Bible says that if the princes of this world had known, it says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then Paul said that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Then say, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained or foreordained before the foundation of the world. The wisdom of God is the functional ability of God. The wisdom of God is the functional ability of God. The wisdom of God is the functional ability of God. The wisdom of God is the functional ability of God. When the spirit of wisdom is operational in your life, you have an understanding of the functional ability of God. You see, the Bible says, he made his ways known unto Moses. He made his ways known unto Moses. But to the Israelites, he made his works known. So the Israelites and the Israelites knew God's works, but they did not know God's ways. See, the wisdom of God represents God's ways. Now listen. Listen. How God does what he does. God functioning. Follow me closely. It's very important. Very important. You see, we talk about, for instance, we say that Jesus was born by a virgin. How many of us know that Jesus was born by a virgin? Now, that is knowledge. Now, there is an unveil. The spirit of revelation is, I'll come to the wisdom again. The spirit of revelation is unveiling for you to understand or to know that he was born of a virgin. I'll come to the spirit of revelation, but I want to explain something. So you know that he was born of a virgin. Now, the spirit of wisdom explains to you or opens it up to you how it happened. The way by which a person could be born by a virgin. So, without the spirit of wisdom, your revelation is still fruitless. For instance, we say, oh, Christ is in you. How do you know? You have a revelation that Christ is in you. But you see, wisdom explains to you how Christ is in you. When we say Christ is in you, but what does it really mean? How is it that Christ is in you? It shows you, wisdom shows you the operations of God. How God has operated to make things happen. Or how God operates to make something happen. That's what wisdom does. For instance, This is a microphone. You say, oh, this is a microphone. I know it's a microphone. It might have been in a box. When it's a box, you say, ah, is this a microphone? Is this a microphone? When you remove it out of the box, it's a revelation that's been unveiled. So the spirit of revelation shows you what God has done. The spirit of revelation shows you what God has done. The spirit of revelation unveils to you. See, when we talk about revelation, it means an unveiling. To reveal. To uncover. To unveil. So when we talk about the spirit of revelation, it's an operation of the Holy Ghost in unveiling to you what God has done. Or what has happened in Christ Jesus. The spirit of revelation is to make you know. Or to open up to you what God has done, or what Christ has done, or what God has done in Christ Jesus. The operations of the Holy Ghost in you to unveil to you. To unveil to you. To reveal to you what God has done in Christ Jesus, or what Christ has done. Or who is Christ? It's an unveiling to you. So the Holy Ghost operates in you to unveil to you, to make you know, to open up to you who Christ is to you, or what Christ has done, or who is Christ. Praise God. Do you understand it? Then the spirit of wisdom explains to you how it all happened. So the spirit of wisdom carries the house. The spirit of revelation carries the what? So we say that this is a microphone. It is unveiled to us that this is a microphone. We know that this is a microphone because it has been revealed to us. But what brought the microphone in place? And what is making the microphone operate the way it operates? And why the microphone needs a battery to function? Is the spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for instance, we talk about the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. Then you know that, oh, Christ is in you. All things are in Christ. God has gathered all things in Christ. All these things are inheritance. That is the spirit of revelation. It has been unveiled to you that Christ is in you. That all things are in Christ by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost has unveiled it to you. Has made it known to you. Has revealed it to you through His word. Or through the word of God. That Christ is in you. That all things are in Christ. And these all things that are in Christ are your inheritance. Praise God. So the Holy Ghost has done what? Has unveiled it to you. But as to how it all happened. How could God carry all things in one person? How come Christ is inside you? What actually do we mean? That is the spirit of wisdom. So, the spirit of wisdom gives you much insight. Gives you insight, details. So, for instance, when we say, I'm born again. I'm born again. Say, how many of you are born again? I'm born again. How do you know you're born again? Because the Bible says that if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are born again. Praise God. But when we say you are born again, what does it actually mean? What processes that what experience takes place? Or what is the experience that takes place? Experiences that takes place that really proves or shows that you are born again. That is the spirit of what the spirit of wisdom does. The spirit of wisdom explains to you in details insightfully that this is what has taken place. That when you are born again, the life of God is imparted into your spirit. That the Holy Ghost comes into you and imparts the life of God into your spirit and stays in you. When we say you are born again, that explanation is wisdom. But the revelation shows you or gives you or tells you that you are born again because you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is why he begins with the spirit of wisdom. Because the spirit of wisdom is what will explain to you what has really happened to you. Until you get to really understand or an explanation of what has really happened to you, you still can't be fruitful. Praise God. So we saw, for instance, I want to give many examples. We saw a person is pregnant. Then we saw his two is pregnant. The person is pregnant. We get to know that a person is pregnant. We say, the person did a test and discovered that she was pregnant. So she's pregnant. That's a revelation. The spirit of wisdom explains to you the processes that takes place for that to happen. Before the person takes a test, and that's all those things, for you to know that, now know that she's pregnant, what are the processes that takes place? So the spirit of wisdom it's an operation of the Holy Ghost to show you, to really explain to you insightfully what actually takes place for the person to be pregnant. Then the spirit of revelation shows you that the person is pregnant. You understand? So we take a vortex bottle, say, this is water. We know it is water. What are the things that go through for it to be like this? That is wisdom. That is insight. So revelation alone is not enough. But then wisdom. That's why it begins that the God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So we say, I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. It is true. But you see, it is revealed to you that you're a child of God from the word of God. He that is born of God is of God. Or whatsoever is born of God. So, you know, from the word of God, the Holy Ghost has shown you that you're a child of God. Why? Because you are born of God. But from that same word of God, the Holy Ghost shows you how come you are a child of God. Now that you have become a child of God, who you really are, how can you function? That is wisdom. Shout amen. So, Paul was praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will give unto the church the spirit of wisdom. That's why, for instance, when we're talking about Christ in you, those of you who are here, when we're talking about Christ in you, we said that the word Christ as used in the Old Testament is different from the word Christ as used in the New. And that the word Christ as used before the resurrection is different from the word Christ as used after the resurrection. And we explained how Christ has been exalted. And how when the spirit of Christ is in you, Christ is in you. That is wisdom. That explains to you more in more detail what you are talking about. But revelation is when the Holy Ghost shows you that Christ is in you from the scriptures. They know Christ is in me. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. What are you really talking about when we say you're a joint heir with Christ? That's what the spirit of wisdom does. Praise God. So he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Shout amen. Amen. So when those two spirits are operating in the church, then the knowledge of Christ can be in the church. When it's just a revelation, it is not enough. What you have received is not a complete knowledge. So when somebody asks you, who is the Holy Ghost? Are you sure the Holy Ghost is in you? The Holy Ghost is in me. The Holy Ghost is in me. What is the proof? When we were at Lagos, something happened. See, someone was arguing with a Muslim. And the Muslim said that it was a Christian. One of the UCF members. University Christian Fellowship. And then the Muslim said that Are you sure Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? She said yes. Are you really sure? What is the proof? Then the Muslim began to teach her why it is wrong to say Jesus was raised from the dead. And she nearly got converted. I'm telling you. Why? Because she had the spirit of revelation. She knew that Jesus was raised from the dead. It is true. She may even be thinking that because of Easter. But revelation shows you that Christ was raised from the dead. But you see, the Bible says that Christ was, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. See, wisdom begins to explain to you how the operations of raising from the dead, how it took place. So that you can now explain it to somebody in detail. Not only that, Jesus was raised from the dead, but how it took place. Oh, hallelujah. So when you're able to explain to the person how it took place, then you can now get the person convinced both that Jesus was raised from the dead and this is how it took place. And we are witnesses. And the proof that he is now seated is that we are witnesses. Now the Holy Ghost is now that we are witnesses of that. Amen. So the spirit of wisdom is very important. Sometimes we talk about revelation. When we leave the inside, the spirit of wisdom is an insight. And the spirit of revelation is an unveiling. The spirit of wisdom is an insight. Write it down. And the spirit of revelation is an unveiling. That's the difference between the two. The spirit of wisdom is an insight into the knowledge of Christ. And the spirit of revelation is an unveiling of the knowledge of Christ. One is an insight into the word of God. One is an unveiling of the word of God. So the insight comes before the unveiling comes. You know, when you get to know much, you get much insight. Then you say, now I know. Now I know. I didn't used to know these things. Now I know. As we just be... Oh, praise God. Praise God. You can now say, now I know. So this thing, it's not just like this. But then it is like this. It is by this. You can now, you. Praise God. Now you know. So Paul says that the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ be given to the church. Be given to you. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, 16. Let's continue from the place. Now you understand the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, that is why sometimes, for instance, when you buy a machine, I'm just explaining from the natural perspective. When you buy a machine, you guys know there's a manual in the machine. Sometimes you know what the machine is. When you buy a phone, you know this is a phone. You know that it is used to make calls. It may be in the box. When you move from the box, you are holding your phone. But then the manual teaches you how to operate the phone. So that you don't operate Samsung like Nokia. You understand? So it's giving you much detailed information about what you have. But what you have, you already have it. You have come to know that this is what you have. It is a phone. But the spirit of wisdom or the manual gives you much insight, detailed explanation, detailed exposition of this is it. This is what it is used for. This is how this one functions. This is why this one functions. Praise God. So he says, Obed, continue quickly.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 downwards.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore I also.
Mm-hmm.
After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Continue, Obed.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
There's a difference between you saying that you know God Or we say, no, we know God. We know God. You know God by His knowledge. It is not by an experience. You have an experience. You've been in church for a long time. So you have an experience. No. Sometimes we say, oh, we know God. We know God. But you see, there's a difference between saying you know God and receiving the knowledge of Christ or the knowledge of God. It's a knowledge. It's a knowledge.
Continue over.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
That ye may know what is the hope Obed. Of his calling.
He says that. That's verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He has already talked about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Then he says that the eyes of your understanding. You see that there is a semicolon. Is it there? The King James. The semicolon. Meaning that what he's coming to talk about gives us much more information about what he has already talked about. So he says that this is how it happens. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is given. Then he says that the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your spirit being enlightened.
Oh, hallelujah.
Your spiritual understanding or your spiritual eyes being enlightened. He's talking about your spirit now. He says that your spirit is enlightened. The word enlightened means it's light or it's lighted up. So your spirit is lighted up or your spirit receives light by the same Holy Ghost. So the eyes of your understanding, the Amplifier says, is flooded with light. The Holy Ghost gives you more light. The Holy Ghost gives your spirit more light. The eyes of your understanding being lighted up. Being lighted up. So that you can be born again. And the eyes of your understanding is not enlightened. You can be born again. But you see, your spirit is not lighted up. It is called spiritual illumination. Or divine illumination. When light comes into your spirit. And light is the word of God. You see, last week I was saying it here that when we off all these lights, you can be here and be ignorant of what is here. When we light up the room, immediately you begin to know what is in the room. When the eyes of your spirit is lighted up, then your spirit comes to know who he is in this body. Praise God. Then your spirit gets to know what he has received or who he has received into him. Because your spirit is lighted up. Then he says that when your spirit is lighted up, what happens is that the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, lighted up, to know. So where there is light, there is a knowing. Or where there is light, there is an awareness. Or where there is light, there is a realization. Or where there is light, there is a seeing. So the word know there means an awareness, a realization, or to see. So it says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, being lighted up. So that when the eyes of your understanding, your spirit, is lighted up, you know. It means that you become aware. You come to realize. You come to see. Then he says, what do you come to see? He says, you come to see, number one, what is the hope of your calling? When your spirit is lighted up, You come to know. You come to see. You come to be, you become aware of, number one, the hope of your calling. Paul wants the church to understand by insight and revelation through the enlightenment of our spirit. Or he wants us to know by insight and revelation through our spirit receiving light. What do we know? The hope of our calling. Say the hope of our calling.
The hope of our calling.
Say the hope of our calling.
The hope of our calling.
Shout and say the hope of our calling.
The hope of our calling.
Now, that may come to see what is the hope of your calling. What is the hope of your calling? You see, we have been called. We are not just people who are in church. No. We are not the people who just call ourselves Christians. We have been called. We are called the called out ones. We have been called out. We've been sanctified. We've been separated. That's why Jesus says we are in this world, but we are not of this world. That's why Peter says that ye are a chosen generation. He doesn't call everybody in the world a chosen generation. No. He calls the church a chosen generation. Why? Because they've been called out among the masses. They've been called out among the world. They've been called out of the world. As we go forward, I'll teach on something. When Paul says that the world is crucified unto me and I'm crucified to the world. So he says that we've been called out. But what is the hope of this calling? So, for instance, your father calls you. You're all sitting down playing. You're all watching TV in the house. Then your father calls you out. Obed, come. When he calls you out, he has called you out of all the people in the room that you're watching TV with. But the question is, what is the hope of this calling? Why has he called you? What is the expectation of this calling? Now that he has called you out, what is he expecting from you? Or what are you expecting now that you've been called out? Say, Paul says that when we are lighted up, we come to become aware. Or we come to realize what is the hope, the expectation of our calling. We've been called, but what is the expectation? You've been called. What is the expectation? So that when you don't know what the expectation is, you will walk as somebody who has been called. I've been called. I've been called. I've been called. And you will never leave to see the hope of your calling or to manifest the expectation of your calling. The reason why it's important for us to know, to become aware of the hope of our calling or of the expectation of our calling is for us to be able to manifest that expectation. What is God expecting from us that he has called? Or those of us who are called, what are we expected to do? What is supposed to come out of us? Do you understand? What is supposed to come out of you? You've been called. All right. What is supposed to come out of you? What is expected of you? What are you expected to manifest? There's only one thing. See, there's only one thing. He has called us to an expectation, to a hope. The Bible says, for there is one hope, there is one calling. Oh, Kalamashaka. That's Ephesians chapter 4. Here's what, there is one hope, there is one calling. There is one baptism. There is one Lord. There is one God who is Father of all, and in you all, and through you all. And there is one Lord. One baptism. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, there is one hope. And what is that one hope? Glory. Shout glory.
Glory.
That's why the Bible says, Christ in you. It says, the hope of glory. So, he has called you to a hope. And that hope is the hope of glory. So, Paul says that he's praying that we be lighted up to become aware, to come to realize. Come to realize or to see what? To see the hope of his calling. Or, if it's a mathematical equation, they'll say that we've been called to realize glory. So the whole, what is the hope of his calling can be erased and we can write it glory. Because the hope of his calling is glory. We've been called unto glory. He says, we are the glorified ones. See, the reason why we've been called into glory is because Christ is in us. He says, if Christ is in us, if Christ be in us, the only hope is one, glory. Why? Because Christ is the glory of God. Christ is the unsearchable riches of God's glory. When you see Christ, you've seen all the beauty and decor and everything of God in that person. Everything that defines God is Christ. You didn't understand. See, everything that defines God is Christ. When you see Christ coming, it's a total definition of God. That's why he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You understand? He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's what Christ, Jesus said. Because he defines the Father. When you see him, you have seen the Father. Whatever is of the Father or makes the Father is with him, or he is the one.
Shakurabakasa.
The hope of glory. The hope of glory. So Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We've been called to come to be aware. Why is Paul saying that we should be aware? We should be lighted up to be aware. Because not all of us are aware. We are only aware of
oh Jesus,
of good sermons and of other things. We are not aware that our calling is of glory. Say,
my calling is
of glory.
Is of glory.
So what we are expecting in our lives on a daily basis is glory. When we see something which is contrary to glory, we refuse to accept it. Say, no, this is not glory. No, this is not glory.
Oh, Jesus.
So, Christ is in us the hope of glory. To become aware that the glory of God is in us. It's in our spirits. Because Christ is in our spirits. The Holy Ghost is in our spirits. So Christ is in our spirits. The Holy Ghost is the glory of God. Christ is the glory of God. And I said, glory of God is all that is of God. Over said, the glory of God is a person. Because it's all that is of God.
This is powerful.
Not all of us are aware that we've been called unto glory. Something that we've been called to walk on this earth and then one day go to heaven. Something that we've just been called to walk on this earth and do that which and experience all that everybody experiences. And know all that everybody also knows. No. Paul says that we should be aware. When it's lighted, our spirits are lighted up. You become aware. Your expectations towards life is glory. What you are looking up to is glory. It doesn't matter your experiences. Your life is a life of glory. Because your life is a life of Christ. Shout hallelujah. What is the hope of our calling? And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Are you following? Are you still following? Are you still following? So the riches of the glory. How rich in glory his inheritance is in us. Are you a saint?
Yes.
He says that the inheritance of God or the inheritance of Christ is in you. You talk about this, the inheritance. Now we talked about inheritance last week. Since we started the mystery of Christ, we are talking about inheritance. Why? Because he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. Then he calls us a joint heir with Christ, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. Then he says that the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our spirit is lighted up to become aware, to come to know, to come to realize what is the riches of glory that is in this inheritance. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. You know what? All this thing is talking about one person, Christ. Christ is the glory of God. Christ is the inheritance of God. And Christ is in you. So he says, he wants you to come to realize that inside your spirit is Christ. Inside your spirit is glory. Inside your spirit is the inheritance of Christ. So the inheritance of Christ is not outside us, it's inside us. And the riches of glory that is in this inheritance that is inside us. So that the inheritance that is inside us, oh Jesus, is Christ. It's the Holy Ghost. It's Christ. And there's the riches of his glory. I don't know what to say again. The riches of his glory in the inheritance. So, in the inheritance is the riches of his glory. And that inheritance is where? It's in you. So, Paul says that when your spirit is lighted up, you become aware that there's an inheritance in you. You become aware that Christ is in you. You come to realize. It's like you're going to the mall. You didn't have money in your pocket. But you weren't aware. You thought you had money. As you enter the mall, you put your hands in your pocket and you realize, I didn't have money in my pocket. You see, Bishop Oyedepo shared the testimony last week. We were watching him live and he was talking about it and he said that Kenny Hagan shared this testimony and he heard it. And he heard that a man was traveling by ship in the olden days. And when the man was going, he took a lot of cabin biscuits. After paying his tickets, he didn't know that the ticket that he paid had covered for food. So he was going with his cabin. So for 2 weeks, when he entered the ship and the ship was moving, he was only eating cabin. Whereas the others who paid the same amount of money for the ticket were always eating. When it was time for food, they would go and eat in the same ship. But he wasn't aware. He thought that when you pay for a ticket, you must buy your own food. So he got his cabin biscuit and he was eating, waiting to eat it till he gets to his destination. But the others who knew that when you pay for ticket, you've paid for food, were aware. Until one day somebody told him that, somebody asked him what was eating cabin biscuit. The person told him that no, when you pay for ticket, the food is covered. When the person told him what happened, he became aware. Paul is praying for that awareness for us. The kind of awareness that will make us come to realize that Christ is in us. Glory is in us. We are glorified people. We are people of glory. The inheritance of God, the inheritance of Christ is in us. And this inheritance entails all things, whether visible and invisible. is powerful. And he says that inheritance is in us. To become aware, not only of the inheritance, but how rich the riches in glory of that inheritance. So that when we walk on the streets, when we leave this place, we are going home. We are not going as people who just came to church and we are going home. Or who just came to watch a next conference, we are going home. We walk as people who have become aware. The word see means that we are now having to see chairs. So you see what is inside of you. See, the Bible says that. What does the Bible say? The Bible says something. The Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my saying. It says, let them not depart from before thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. It says, let not the words depart from before your eyes. Paul is saying that. Oh, hallelujah. Paul is saying that you become aware in your eyes. To see. So that in the natural, your optical eyes can see lack. What does your eye see? When you see lack, what do you see? When you see lack, you see inheritance. See, when you see sickness, you see health. In your eyes, what do you see? It's a consciousness. Hallelujah. It's a consciousness. Say, it's a consciousness. There is a consciousness that comes to you. That comes to you. That comes to your mind and your eyes to see. To see an inheritance in you.
Oh, hallelujah.
You see, let me give you an example.
No, let me finish.
An inheritance. Now, it says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. And it says, and what is the exceeding greatness? Now, that one is very important. What is the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints? And if you want to know more about the inheritance, it is there. See, the messages are there about the inheritance. When it says that we should be joint heirs, it should be what? Joint heirs. Now, he says that, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? So, he's talking about what is inside your spirit.
Oh, hallelujah.
Paul is making us inward conscious. Spirit conscious. Not many Christians are inside conscious. They are only outward conscious. When you are inside conscious, you walk by what you see on your inside, not what you see on the outside. He says, that is why Paul said, why we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen.
Oh, are you people here?
He says, why we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal. So, what you see here is temporal. We look not on the things which are seen, but we look on the things which are what? Which are unseen. What are the things which are unseen? The things which are inside us, which the natural man cannot see. So when they see prince coming, they only see prince coming. What is inside prince, they don't see. But we see. So we look at things which are unseen. We look at. How can you look at what is unseen? But Paul says we look at the unseen. And the unseen is what is inside your spirit. And what is inside your spirit is Christ. And then glory because of Christ. And then inheritance because of that same Christ.
Oh, shout amen.
Amen.
When you look on your inside, your victory is in the inside. Your miracle is in the inside. That is why Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
One day the Bible says that he went to a wedding feast. The people said that Mary said that whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. And the people had no wine. And then Jesus said, pour water into the jug and draw and give to the gardener. What was he doing? See, the Christian life is a supernatural life. Last week I said it there that The Christian life is a spiritual life. A spiritual life is a supernatural life. A supernatural life is a life that is above the senses. A supernatural life is a life that is lived from your spirit. That's why the Bible says that John, after he was arrested and put into, they wanted to fry him, they put him in oil. He was called St. John the Divine. He couldn't be fried. He had become conscious of what was on the inside. He says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Christ is in me. Glory is in me. My inheritance is in me. Then he says that you become aware. You come to realize. You come to realization of the exceeding greatness of his power. Shout amen. It says the exceeding greatness of his power in us and for us who believe. He says this. He says that Christ is in you. Glory is in you. He says that when the eyes of your spirit is lighted up, you become aware. Maybe when you were coming here, you didn't think about any power. You're walking as a powerless person. But you see, he says that when the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your spirit is lighted up, then you become aware. You begin to see that there is power in you. You begin to see. Oh. One day, Bishop David posted and said, which armed robber in Nigeria would tell me, lift up your hands? He says, which armed robber in Nigeria will tell me, lift up your hands? He says, when the armed robber says, the mouth will not close again. Why is he saying that? He said, he said that when he started ministry afresh, when he started, he never called anybody on the phone. Even his own brothers never invited them. He says there was no day he called a sister or a brother and said, come to church. I'm having a program, come. He never did that. He says as he went and met few people, he had seen multitudes. What you see and what you see. So what you see is very important. Paul says that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, will be lighted up, so that you come to see, you come to be aware of the exceeding greatness of God's power that is in you. In other words, he's telling you that there is the exceeding greatness of God's power. Then NIV says that the incomparable great power. So he says that there is power in you. There is power in your spirit. He says that same power raised Jesus from the dead. He says that same power is in your spirit. He says that when the eyes of your spirit is lighted up, you become to realize. Maybe you are working as a powerless person. You're working as a weak Christian. I'm weak. I don't have power. He says that when the eyes of your understanding is lighted up, you become aware that God's power, which he used in raising Jesus from the dead, that same power, not a different one, is inside you. And that same power is in your spirit.
Oh, Jesus.
It says the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in your spirit. It says the power of Christ is in your spirit. It says what made Jesus produce good works is in your spirit. It says what made Jesus turn water into wine is in your spirit. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in your spirit. You come to realize. You come to do what? To realize. Why? Because the eyes of your understanding is lighted up. There is now light. You realize that there is Christ in you. There is glory. There is inheritance. Then there is power. What is the use of the power? For the manifestation of glory.
Oh, hallelujah.
You see, God doesn't only want us to have it inside our spirits. He also wants what is inside our spirit to be manifested. Manifestation is
oh, shout hallelujah.
The medium by which what is inside you is manifested is power. Is what? Is power. So when the power of God is inside your spirit, it is inside your spirit for the manifestation of your glory. and the manifestation of your inheritance, and to show forth that Christ is in you, that glory is in you, that inheritance is in your spirit, that you are in Christ, to show forth. How does it happen? It says, by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is in your spirit. It is like we say, oh, there are speakers in the room. You have the lights were off. Now the lights are back. The room is lighted up. You get to know that there are speakers there. There are microphones here. There are laptops here. Then it gives you the energy. It is called the inward working energy. The power of God. It is the ability of God. It is what enables God to do what he does. When we say God has healed the sick, he does it by his power. That's why when Jesus arose from the dead, he said, heal the sick. He didn't say, call on God to heal the sick. Shout amen.
Amen.
Shout amen.
Amen.
If you are blessed, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, so the power of God is what enables God to do what you see. Kaya Mosheka. What you are calling God to come and do, he has given that ability to you. That's what the Bible says, that the incomparable great power that raised Jesus from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. What he used in raising Jesus from the dead is his power. Then he says that same power he used in raising Jesus from the dead is inside your spirit. So that you don't go and call God, God, come and raise this person from the dead. Oh, you will go with his power that is in your spirit. Once you have become aware, you don't know what we can do with this power. See, but what happens is that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you condition your spirit and your body with this power. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you condition your spirit and your body with this power. We say air conditions the room with air. Praying in the Holy Ghost is power condition. Praying in the Holy Ghost is what? It's power condition. Praying in the Holy Ghost, oh Jesus, conditions your spirit and your body with the power. Then you become a conductor of God's power. Somebody said that your body is a conductor of power. When you see a naked wire, when you see a wire there and it's covered, you think there is no power. Touch it and you see. Yeah, donkey said it. It's serious. Shout a big hallelujah. So he says that same power which he used in raising Jesus from the dead, and raising him from the dead and setting him high. Say power. Say, what is the hope of my calling? And the exceeding greatness of his power in me. Your spirit. Oh, Jesus. You see, last time. Your spirit has power. The power of God is in your spirit. Now, I always say, when God formed man out of the dust of the ground in the book of Genesis, when he formed man out of the dust of the ground, the Bible says, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. A man became. Yet the Bible says that he was formed out of the dust of the ground. How did the dust change to flesh? How? By the power of God. That's what the Bible says. Lazarus was stinking. He had been buried four days and was thinking. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Power. Now, the Bible also tells us that in the days to come, all the dead in Christ shall be raised. I'm showing certain things. Listen, we are taking over this world. See, I remember when Bishop David Obey said something. He said, when they had a program, they were very few. Then he announced the program that in the days ahead, we will buy a jet. Some of the people left. Said, this man is not serious. And what he said those times has happened. See, when you are working with the Holy Ghost, when you are working with the Word of God, your life is different. And once you're able to walk with the Word of God, what takes people years takes you a second. See, why? Because the Bible says that in the days to come, the dead in Christ shall be raised first. He says that the trumpet, he says, we shall not all sleep. By the twinkle of an eye, we shall all be changed. When a trumpet sounds, it says, we shall all be changed. So that those who are alive in Christ, in other words, those who are Christians, who are on this earth, will be changed in a twinkle of an eye. So that mortality shall put on immortality in a twinkle of an eye. How will it happen? By the power of God. And it says, those who are dead in Christ. When it says those who are dead, those who have gone to heaven and their bodies have been buried since 1918, 1916, 1914, and some of them, their bodies are decomposed. Do you know what the Bible says? It says that in a twinkle of an eye, in a second, their bodies will be raised back. In a second. That's why last week I was saying that what Peter toiled the whole night and did not have, Jesus is the second to give to him by power. What you have looked for years and you don't have, by power you can get in a second. Why? Because in a twinkle of an eye, the one whose body is decomposed and has turned to dust, and people have even built houses on on the place the person was buried, because he was buried for years, that person shall rise up. And you see the person coming. By power. Say, we have something. Say, I have something inside me. It says that same power raised Jesus from the dead and carried him. So as the disciples were looking at him, he was suspending. He was moving higher. He was moving higher. The Bible says, how did it happen? It says, by the power of the Holy Ghost. He was moving higher. Higher, bashende. The power of the Holy Ghost carried him up, moved him higher, till he was received into the clouds.
Oh,
there is something about the church. There is something about us. You see, today I was listening to Kenny Copeland, and he said that years back, God told him something. He was talking about turning little into much. And said that God told him that he should give Kenny Hagin, $5,000. He said, when God told him $5,000, he was confused. Because he did not have $1,000. To give $500. So how will he give $1,000 to Kenny Hagin? So he started gathering all that he had. Gathered all that was in his account. Gathered all the money he could make. And started paying it into a bank. Shout hallelujah. When I was listening, do you know what came into my mind? Obed? The man who has distributed 20 jets now. At a point in time, did not have even $500 to sow as a seed. See, don't look at where you are. Look at who you are. I said, don't look at where you are. Look at who you are. Who you are can produce. And who you are can change where you are. So, what happened? He gathered some money, and then later he sold it as a seed. And he thought that he had gathered $1,000. He said, when he checked it, it had become $5,000. He said he was confused. I was reading T.L. Osborne one day, and T.L. Osborne said that one day they didn't have money to pay their tithes. They didn't have money to pay their bills. And he went to pay his tithes and said, God, open the windows of heaven. He said they went to sleep. When he woke up with the wife, their hall, there was money. He said he had no T.L. Osborne. Next week I can bring the book and read it to you. I'll never lie to you, I'm telling you. He said that when do you know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you what power can do. And what power has done. But he says that the power of God raised Jesus from the dead and carried him higher into the heavens. Far above every name that is named. So it was the power of God that carried him into heavens, from the physical realm into the spiritual realm. The power of God carried Jesus from the physical realm into the spiritual realm and set him on the throne. The power set him down and he sat down. The power. That is the same way the power of God can create from the invisible realm into the visible realm. The same power that took a man from the visible to the invisible can create, take from the invisible and put to the visible. It's called power. It's called power. So he says he raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above every name that is named in this world, thrones, dominions, titles, and every name that is named, and has made him to be the head over all things to the church. So Paul said that our eyes be lighted up to see the power, to see that God has raised Jesus from the dead by his power, and the power is in us, and that Christ is seated far above every name that is named, and the Christ that is seated far above is the one sitting in us. That's what we explain when we talk about Christ in you. But it's inside that. Then it says that he has made him to be the head over all things to the church. He is the head over all things to the church. What is the all things? All the things that belongs to him has been given to the church and is head over it. And we are controllers of it here. Shout amen.
Amen.
Controllers of life. One day, the Bible says a venomous viper a venomous viper bit Paul. He was bitten by a venomous viper. And they were all expecting that he would die. It was Paul who said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. He had conditioned his whole spirit and body with power. He had conditioned his whole spirit and body with power. The venomous viper. The Bible says Paul shook the venomous viper off. And when the people said that he was a sinner, they were waiting for him to die. Later they saw that he was still sitting there and said, this man must be God. By the power of God, people will change what they say about you. Shout amen.
Amen.
I will continue from the last verse. The fullness of him that fills all in all. He said that he has made him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. So the church is his body. He says, we are the body of Christ. Praise God. See, we are the body of Christ. That means that Christ is in us, and this body is his body. That's simple. So your body houses your spirit, and your body houses Christ, and your body houses the glory and the inheritance.
Oh, Jesus.
And your body is the body of Christ. So you are of the same body with Christ. That's why the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. They are the temple of Christ. They are the shrine. So we are shrines of Christ. The word temple in the Greek means shrine. So we are shrines of Christ. When you are coming, the shrine of Christ is coming. So that Christ is in your body. And Christ is in his body. So this body houses Christ. Now, the reason for your body is for you to have physical expression. So, by your body, you contact the physical realm. We are not physical beings. We are spirit beings housed in a body. The body is a house. It's a coat. And by the body, you can contact the physical. I can only touch you now because of this hand. The physical hand. And the physical hand is not there. I can stretch and touch you, but you won't feel it. Why? My spirit can touch you, but you won't feel it. So your body is a house, housing Christ, housing the power of God. The power of God, the inheritance and the glory, all comes or gains expression into the physical realm through your body. So what are you to do now that you have received this? What you need to do is to charge your spirit. Charge the power of God. It's the power of God that will make manifest. I say it is the power of God that will make manifest what is inside your spirit.
Shout hallelujah.
You see, years back, I was sharing this thing with my mate years back. And one of her mates said that she wanted money. And after I shared it with her, she said, is this thing possible? I said, it's possible. Then she told the friend that tomorrow morning, go into your account, there is money. Then the friend said, that is not possible. Then she said, go. Now, when the lady went to the account, a strange money had fallen. She took the money, she came and said, how did that happen? By the power of the Holy Ghost. Last year, somebody called me, he said that he was working in a financial company, and he gave someone money. They gave someone money who was also a worker. to go and distribute. And the guy went to squander the money. And as a financial manager, they said that he was supposed to know what he was doing. He was careless. He didn't just have to dash the money out to the person. They said he didn't dash the money out to the person. Then they said, okay, because he's a financial manager, what they'll do is that they'll deduct it from his salary every month. So he called me, said, this is what is going on. What you see? I said, this is not an issue. God can change this thing easily. And that you should just go and relax. I said, no, you can't relax at this time. I said, going. What happened is that I called, the affair was there. We just prayed. We just relaxed. We said, we change this case. Now, what happened was this. After they said that he was going to pay every month, after a period of time, they checked one or two things. They said, no. Even him, they have to promote him. They changed the issue and promoted him and took him to another department and made him the head of the department. And the financial issue became a foolish issue. See, let me tell you, there is power in you. Say, there is power in me. Say, Christ is in me. My body is housing this power. My body is housing Christ. My body is housing the inheritance of Christ. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you are blessed tonight, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. But you see, I don't want you to take for granted this knowledge. You go home and sit on it. See, you are not an ordinary person. When a person is born again, he's not an ordinary person. He's not a person struggling to make it in life. He's not a person struggling to earn something in life. Such a person, Christ is his life. So that all things that he's looking for... Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 8. Let me finish this in Romans chapter 8. Verse 30. So that all that is, that is already, is looking for, moving around looking for, has already been given to Christ. If only you understand that Christ is in you, and all those things are in Christ, and that the power of God to make manifest those things are in you, there will be a manifestation. Robert, can you read it before we close?
Romans chapter 8, verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate,
mm-hmm,
them he also called.
Them he also called. Uh-huh.
And whom he called.
Those he called. Uh-huh.
Them he also justified.
Mm-hmm.
And whom he justified, uh-huh, them he also glorified.
Them he also glorified. So the church is the glorified ones. Yeah. We are the glorified ones. We are people of glory. Therefore, ye a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people.
I will continue verse 30.
What shall we then say to these things?
What shall we then say to these things?
Mm-hmm. If God be for us.
If God be for us.
Who can be against
who
us?
Who can be against us?
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all.
But delivered him up for us all.
How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
He that spared not his son, Jesus. He says, he that spared not his son, Jesus, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with his son also freely give us all things? Say, it's for free. So if we have received his son, we have received all the things that is that is part of his son. That accompanies his son. He says, how shall he not with his son also freely give us all things? So what you've been looking for ages is for free. You see, the way you take the word of God is very important. He says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So if we have received him, we have received all things. So that the contract you're looking for has been freely given. You say, but I don't get the contract. It has been freely given to you. The job you're looking for has been freely given to you. You don't have to pay for it. Whatever you're looking for in this world has been freely given to you, because all those things have been given to Christ.
Oh, shout hallelujah.
And because they've been given to Christ and Christ is in you, those free things, that's why last week I said that. He says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither did it enter into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Downwards. But he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What is knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of that man? I say, the same way the Spirit of God knows nothing but the things of God. Therefore, we have not received the spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, not the things that we are going to look for. That the things that are freely given to us of God, they are what? Freely given to us of God. It says, I have not seen what God has already prepared for those who love Him. He's not going to prepare, He has prepared. In Christ Jesus, all things have been prepared. One day, oh, hallelujah. Jesus said that, Jesus gave a parable of a man who was going to have a party and called many of his friends, and the friends did not come. And he told one of his servants, say, go to the highways. Bring all those who will come. Bring the lame, the sick. Bring them to the party. And then tell them that all things are theirs. So when you go, tell them that all things have already been prepared for them. One day the prodigal son, when he came out, and the elder brother said that, Father, I've stayed with you all this while. You did not give me anything. The elder brother. The father said, you are with me. And all that I have is yours. But he did not do that. All that the father had was his. Say, what I'm looking for is for free. And it's already in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is in me. You see, when you move with this consciousness, it means when you are having a competition with somebody concerning a contract, you can't have a competition any longer. You say, no. I didn't used to know. That's what Paul says, that you might become aware. The eyes of understanding will be lighted up, that we may know. We may see what is the hope of our calling. If we don't see what is the hope of our calling, we'll be competing with somebody on an issue or with something that we already have. So that by the power of the Holy Ghost that is inside of you, you can now make manifest. You see, the power of God. The power of God is spiritual. The power of God is like a wind. The Bible says the wind blows where it listeth, and you do not know where it's going to or coming from. It says, such is anyone born of the Spirit. So when the power of God is released, or when you sense the power of God through you, then that which belongs to you now belongs to you. In other words, the power of God goes to take for you what already belongs to you. So you stop the competition with somebody and send the power. You stop. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. You are competing with somebody on the contract. You stop the competition. You say, no, you can't, you are too small. Then you go and send the power of God, and the power of God will go and get the contract. The man will be sitting down. He has to give you contract. The guy is always calling. You are not calling. You are sitting down. Then the man will call you and say, oh, I want to give you the contract. Something took place. When you send the power of God, it worked on the man. The man saw the other person and did not take notice of him. That is called power. That is called what? It's called power. So that is why he has also given us the power of God. So that there can be a manifestation of what is already freely given to us. And I said that the power of God is charged up. Like you charge your phone by speaking in tongues. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, you charge the power of God up. Say, I take hold of this thing. I take hold of this thing. I take hold of this thing. Your documents are somewhere. You need someone to just approve of the documents. You are going and come every day. You are seeing the man. He says, go, I'll see you. Go, I'll see you. Go, I'll see you. Stop going. Why? The man has to sign whether he likes it or not. Why? Because that signature that he has to put has been freely given already. So by the power of the Holy Ghost, the man will just wake up one day and the consciousness that you have is only about you. So let me even finish this man's thing and go. Then you finish your own. So God has given us the power of God in our spirit so that there can be a manifestation of that which He has freely given to us. There can be a manifestation of that which He has what? Already given to us. He has given us His Son. How shall He not with Him, with His Son? So anybody who has received His Son has received all things. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you are blessed tonight? Shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Shall we please be upstanding? Ziva Kashandelebeko. Liva Koshikitibakaya. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, give glory to Jesus. Thank Jesus for his word. Shabunda hasha. Vondo shimini ni makashaya. Makura bakise telivakaya. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice.
The word is a seed, when planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams, if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe it? Dare to receive. In a world where there's seasons and times, this is your season. It's time to shine. Inside of you.